and Mercedes. That's not what he had in mind. Anyone that thinks in those terms when they hear that scripture needs to get a heavenly mindset. They're earthbound. Amen. He didn't come here leave the gold and silver of heaven. He left the glory and splendor of heaven. He's the Son of the living God. Angels worship him. And he's the commander-in-chief of heaven's armies. Can you say amen? The Lord of hosts. And to condescend to come down, to leave that celestial glory, amen, and to come down and to be born in a poor setting. They keep trying to make him something other than what he was. He rebuked the world system. He stood as an absolute antithesis to it. He literally was divested of all of those things that represented heaven's glories to come and be born in a humble manger, to become one with us. Amen, that he might redeem us. Incredible condescending love in Jesus Christ. Amen. He became poor that we might become rich, that we might make heaven our home. He left his home and came to this fallen world for a season. Isn't that incredible? He became poor. He was born to a carpenter. He was born in one of the poorest cities that there was, the city of Nazareth. Amen. Nazareth was I would say equivalent to Sulphur Springs, but I might offend somebody that lives there. I lived there for over 20 years, 25 years I lived in Sulphur Springs. And there's a lot of people moving in and out, and we saw a lot of poverty. We had a food bank. And this is the kind of town and community that Jesus was born in. Can you say amen? He condescended. He was born in a manger, a place that animals come to eat. He became poor that we might become rich. And the Bible said that he became a curse, that we might be delivered from the curse. See, everything God has given you in salvation, he had to become the opposite of. The chastisement of our peace, in order to give us peace, he had to take punishment. Everybody say punishment. The chastisement of our peace means he took the punishment that should have been ours so that we could have peace with God and enjoy the peace of God. And every time that peace floods my soul, that peace that passes understanding, I think about the fact that he was chastised so I could have this peace. Everything you have from him, he took the opposite of. He was made to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That gift of righteousness was not just something God just dropped on us without a great price and great cost. He became sin who knew no sin. On that cross, God judged our sins in him. I love that song that says, I never will know the cost. Amen. To see my sin upon that cross. Can you say amen? Here I am to worship. That's what draws that worship out of me. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Amen. That draws worship out of me. Praise the Lord. See, everything we have, these gifts that we have, the gift of salvation, the gift, all of this comes. He became a curse, for cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Can you say amen? Amen. He became cursed so that we could be blessed. He became sin and let, because of our sins, he took them on himself. Let them be judged in himself. Amen. That we might be made the righteousness of God. See, the exchange was he took our sin and he gave us his innocence. Amen. Amen. Grace isn't fair. Grace isn't fair at all. Who are we that he, the sinless one, would take our sin and we, the sinful ones, would get his innocence? Somebody said, that ain't right. You're right. That's what grace is all about. That's what mercy is all about. Can you say amen? Grace is powerful. Grace is wonderful. Amen. We don't get what we deserve because of grace. Hallelujah. He deserved all the things that he's given us. Amen. We deserved all the things that happened to him. But he loved us enough to say, I'm going to take that chastisement. I'm going to take that wrath. I'm going to take that sin. I'm going to take that curse. Amen. My grandmother is 105. And the other night she called me for prayer because she has terrible, terrible gastric problems, and sometimes when she eats a little too fast, she has acid reflux, and it actually comes up when she goes to sleep. It actually comes up, and it gets up to her mouth and causes her stomach to burn, her esophagus to burn, and her tongue. She said, "My tongue feels like it's set on fire." And then, you know, so she called for prayer, and she's 105, you know, and she called for prayer. And when I started praying, you know, I've prayed for her so many times, and with her age, I expect physical problems, but I'm asking for God's grace and God's mercy. And that night, I just felt God's love spring up. And have you ever prayed a prayer out of responsibility and duty, and you prayed a prayer and you felt God in you actually flowing through that prayer? I felt God in me flow to her in that prayer, in His love. And it's an incredibly different way to pray when His compassions and His love flows through you, amen, to someone. I could feel it flowing. And it just occurred to me. I said, "Grandmother, if I could right now, I would take whatever you're experiencing and I would bear it tonight so that you could rest and sleep good. I would take it right now." I felt that. I mean, I meant it. It never occurred to me ever praying. I wasn't praying to take. You know, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it. And God wouldn't even let me do that. I can't take her sickness, amen, and in me and let it ravage me for a while and let her be. But I meant it that night. If I could take that from her and let her be at peace for that night, then I would be the one in the agony. Let her be the one. I didn't just pray for God. I just told her, "Grandmother, I wish I could just take your place right now. But I told her I can't. But God can give you grace and God can heal you and God can help you." And you know something? She said 30 minutes after that prayer, she went into a sleep, slept all night long without the problem. I'm so proud of the Lord and His grace and mercy. But something else happened. The next day when I said, "Well, how are you doing, Grandmother?" She said, "Well, I'm doing good after you prayed. But then 30 minutes, says God touched me and I had a good night's sleep." And then she started to weep. And she said, "You told me something that touched my heart and I love you so much for it. You said that if you could, I'll never forget it. You said if you could, you would take it in your own body and let me sleep. If you could take it, you would take it for a while so I could rest and so I could sleep. I'll never forget it, Bobby. I love you, Bobby, so much." And I thought, oh, Jesus, this is exactly what you were able to do, amen, for fallen man. You were able to take our sin upon yourself so that we could be set free. Everything I have, everything you enjoy from Him, amen, comes because He took it all on Himself. That's why the gospel in the Old Testament, is there a gospel in the Old Testament? Oh, yes, there is. The gospel, the New Covenant gospel in the Old Testament, amen, one of the places, the most prominent place that it's found is on Isaiah chapter 53. "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Amen. And then it goes down that we talked about earlier about Him taking, amen, our chastisement upon Him. Him bearing our griefs, carrying our sorrows. Literally, our sicknesses and our diseases. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. With His stripes, we have healing. He suffers, we're set free. It's that wonderful love that He had to step down into our fallen world, take our sin, take our sickness, take our pain and our heartbreak and heartache upon Himself. He was made a curse that we might be made righteous before our God. What a wonderful Savior that we serve tonight. Can you say amen? I'm so glad for this week. This is a holy week for me. This is building to a crescendo on Easter morning when we're going to celebrate His triumphant victory over death, hell, and the grave. And I'm looking forward to worshiping Him tonight. Amen, is the beginning. I believe it's a pivotal night. It's sure, I know it is for me. Amen, because when God just, you know, the Bible said we're to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, always making melody, amen, consistently, not just on Sunday, but always making melody in our heart to the Lord, amen. Hallelujah. And then speaking to the Lord in the same way. Paul said, I will praise God. Amen. I'll pray with my understanding. I will pray with the Spirit. And I will sing with my understanding. And I will sing with the Spirit. Can you say amen? I believe one of the reasons for tongues, one of the reasons for tongues, is so that we can express the deep feelings of our heart in a language that is unique between us and God. Because this is, when it's right, when we get it right, when God manifests Himself and we're in fellowship with Him, it said, whom having not seen ye love, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. When God manifests Himself, there are no words to adequately describe that. Can you say, man, you can say it was glorious. Well, that doesn't describe what, no one can relate to that. Amen. But you who have experienced it is the only people who can relate to it. I can go tell somebody what I felt tonight while we were singing. If they haven't experienced, the old timers had it right. It's better felt. It's better felt than telt. Can you say, man? In other words, I could talk to you all day long telling you what it's like to come in His presence. But until you get there, you won't know what I'm talking about. You won't have a clue. Can you say, man? The average Christian that doesn't walk in a fellowship relationship and isn't clothed with those garments of praise, they don't know what we're talking about tonight. So you better entertain them, because they know nothing of entering into the presence of God. So let's make the service high octane and highly entertaining, because inviting people into His holy presence where they get lost in Him in the Spirit is foreign to them. And it should be commonplace. Amen? Come into the King's chambers, we used to sing, and I'll never be the same. Let us draw near. Come into His very presence, amen. Hallelujah. With our hearts sprinkled from evil, praise God. That means that conscious of guilt from the past is gone, and we can come humbly and yet boldly before the throne of Almighty God to worship Him. He said He was here tonight with healing in His wings, and I love it when God talks about healing us in all of the areas of need of our life. See, when God manifests Himself, whether it's a broken heart or a heart condition, it doesn't matter to God. He can heal both inside and outside tonight. He can open up clogged arteries in a worship service. Amen. Amen. Right in the middle of a word. All it takes is the manifest presence of God. You know what a woman said one time? She said, if I can touch just the hem of His garment, I know that I'm going to be made whole. If I can get close enough to Him to get under that garment, to take it and ask for a covering, praise God, I know I'm going to be made whole. Hallelujah. And when she made contact with Him, immediately virtue flew out of Him into her. And she felt in her body that she was healed. And Jesus stopped in His tracks and said, who touched me? And in the middle of a thronging crowd, amen, he stopped, and they said, this disciple said, well, why are you asking who touched you? Everybody's rubbing up against you. Everybody's reaching out to touch you. He said, yes, but this touch was different. Amen. I felt virtue go out of me. Amen. That word virtue, you know what it was? Dunamis. Dunamis. You ever heard that Greek word before? You shall be receive power. Dunamis. Miracle working ability after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, amen, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's a good, gracious God. And He's here with healing in His wings. Praise the Lord. Amen. That means under His covering. Praise the Lord. And I'm so happy for Him tonight. What He's doing in my family, we're wore out. My wife is wore down from just being so busy trying to help my mama get things done while I do a whole bunch of other things. But God has been so good and gracious. And when I am weak and I look to Him, then am I made strong. So if your healing is incomplete, amen, keep on standing your ground tonight, because He that's begun a good work in you, and I honestly believe God has begun something in us. He's seeded something in us. There's a faith that rests in Him and on Him that He's establishing, that we might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, because He's given us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and that garment tonight. How did it fit? Did it fit well? Did it feel tailor-made for you? The garment of praise for what? for the spirit of heaviness? Didn't it feel good to put that garment on tonight? Amen. How many had the garment of praise on a few minutes ago? Amen. Glory to the Lord. Amen. It felt so good. Praise the Lord. Amen. I found a coat the other day on sale. So actually about 3 years ago. And I put it on and I thought, boy, if this thing fits me, what a blessing it's going to be. Because it's, and I put it on, I got in front of the mirror and I thought, boy, look, the sleeves fit perfect. This fits real good right in here. The shoulders are good. Amen. This is a great coat. It fits me perfect. God didn't just, God led me to a coat that fits perfect, that's on sale. Amen. Because some of them that fit perfect and are not on sale, I really couldn't afford to buy. But this one was on sale and it fits perfect. Amen. God picked it out for me. Amen. Well, God picked out the garment of praise for you. Amen. And not only that, He's picking out a lot of clothes for you. He picked out something else, not only the garment of praise, He's picked out a robe of righteousness. Amen. Job said, I put on righteousness, and guess what? It clothed me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And He's already picked out something else too, and it's called a wedding garment. Amen. He's picked out a wedding garment for you for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I believe, amen, the robe of righteousness is the wedding garment. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And He's provided it to everyone that's been invited to that wedding. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. A robe of righteousness. Amen. Instead of our sinfulness. And everything that we have from Him, He took the opposite in order to give us. He took the pain. He took the shame. He took the punishment. He took the wrath. He hung on that cross, not in His deity. He never quit being God on that cross, but He didn't have God's comfort in His human part. His emotions, His feelings, He cried on that cross. He took that so we'd never have to say what He said. Father, Father, when I need You so desperately. You know, before Pilate, before the actual punishment for our sin was taking place on the cross, He stood before Pilate and said these words as we get ready to close tonight. He said these words. He said, my Father. Everybody else forsook Him. But He said, right here, before You condemning me, my Father is always with me. I am comforted because my Father is always with me. And you know what He said He was going to do for you and what God is going to do for you after the cross? I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way, even unto the end of the age. And lo, I am with you always. But in order for God to be with us like that, what happened to Jesus on the cross? He cried unto heaven and said, Father, Eloi, Eloi. And He cried it out. He wasn't asking to come down. He was asking for the presence of His Father to comfort Him in His pain and anguish. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which being interpreted as my God, my Father, why hast Thou forsaken me? He died like a sinner without the comfort of God on that cross. So there was the anguish of the nails, the anguish of the beating He took. And to add to that anguish, there was no comfort. And you know what He sends us? A comforter to be with us always. He said, I never want you to experience that. But in order for the comforter to come, He had to die uncomforted. I can't imagine going through what He went through with God's presence. It's beyond my imagination to experience that without God's presence. When He took our sin, God couldn't legitimately comfort Him in His humanness. So He knows what it's like to feel abandoned so that we could never sense that in our entire life. Comes time for me to go home, He's going to be there. Hallelujah. When my heart is broken, He'll come to me. Praise God. But everything I have, my appreciation is going higher and higher. Amen. My praises rise up because I know everything I have, He had to become the antithesis of it, the curse, the sin, take the wrath. That's why I love Him. It draws it out of me to Him. Are you beginning to feel it tonight? How's that garment of praise feel tonight? Does it fit well? Isn't it good what He's given us? Amen. For the spirit of heaviness? Hallelujah. How's that righteous robe? How does it feel for God to give you His robe to wear? Can you say, man, Satan could pick your righteousness apart because there's none righteous. No, not one. But he can't touch God's. Can you say, man, and being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God through Jesus Christ. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And the reason it won't prosper is because their righteousness is of me. It's God-given and God-granted. And the devil can't touch that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise tonight. Amen. Do you still have that disc from this morning? Hallelujah. Number one again, if you will. Will you stand to your feet tonight?